We dedicate our shirim as always lazecher nishmas hakadoshim shenaflu akidush Hashem. This week particularly was a very difficult week, besides obviously the great kadoshim that have died al kiddush Hashem from October 7th, and unfortunately we now are over 100 over 200 kadoshim of our soldiers who have died since the aftermath after the war. And this week was particularly difficult with 24 in one day dying, and reading some of the amazing stories about these kedoshim make it even more difficult. Hashem should protect Chayalei Tzva Hagana Lisrael, Haomdim Shmar Atzeinu. Hashem should, of course, help those families. They should have only Yeshuas and Nechamas. And of course, the Cholim should have Refuah Shleima, and specifically to the hostages, we always think of them. They're always on our minds. And Mitzvah Hashem Shizeicha to see only Besiris Tovus. I had the Schus yesterday, through the company that I work for, actually sponsored a awesome Tu B'Shvat event can't get closer to the Kotel at Eish HaTorah, with people who have been displaced from different places in the South. It was amazing to be able to speak to them, to give them chizuk. They were giving us chizuk, of course. This continues, and Klal Yisrael really shows. There are a lot of my friends who came here for this vacation season. And I think it's great to see how people took from their time, not to vacation in Turks and Caicos, but to come to Eretz Yisrael and to volunteer. Really, it's a tremendous bracha that we have, that we live in this nation, and that we have a nation that cares so very much. So today's question is very cute. We know, just to relate it to the parish, as Rav Zilberstein does, a lot of things happen on the choppy seas of the Yam Suf. When the sea split, of course, the pasuk tells us, "Saluka aferes b'mayim adirim." There were great waves and great. It says that every single sea split in the world. So Rav Zilberstein takes that pasuk and he says, "I want to tell you a story about a sea splitting." Oh, this is a story. Look at the case. Here's the case. I changed it a little bit. 11-year-old Jake is drowning in the ocean. Rafi sees and realizes that one of the kedoshim that died. One of the soldiers invented this awesome thing. It's so nebuch as he was interviewed. I don't know if you ever heard of Nas Daily. It's one of the largest. Is one of the largest followings. Nas Daily. I said Daily. Daily and Daily. Daily. I know to speak English. I'm not from Israel. And so he interviewed this guy. He created a system that's used all over the world now that's able to tell if somebody's in water and is distressed, meaning they can't swim well, or nebuch, they're drowning. And it sends an alert. It's a very, very chashava. Shalom aleichem. It's a very chashava system that he created, Nebuch, and he's one of the kedoshim that died. So they're in the sea. We're just getting to this question, young whippersnapper. And they're in the sea, and he's drowning, Nebuch. This kid is drowning. The little boy is drowning. I pointed out purposely, Jake is 11 years old, and he's drowning. So Rafi decides that because nobody's going to jump in and save him, I guess there's no lifeguard, because it's so choppy, the waters, it's so difficult. He screams and says, anybody that saves this kid, it's not my son, just the kid, I'll give you $5,000 to risk your life. So if one guy hears that and he says, Dan agrees. He agreed and to deal with to the deal and risked his life to save the child. He does an amazing job, risks his life, and everybody is watching him. Oh, the kedoshim, look at this guy, and he's bringing back this kid, Jake, and it's amazing, and everybody's clapping and going crazy, and Baruch Hashem, his life is saved. Okay? So now, Jake has a very good family, was brought up in a good family. He wants to look at the person, he hadn't looked at him yet, looks at the guy that saved him, he goes, Yishkoyach, Reb Noyach, you know, Yishkoyach, thanks for saving my life. And he looks at the guy, and he goes, oh, hi, Dad, how are you? So Jake realizes, that the person who saved his life turns out to be his own father. So the question for tonight is, Rav Zilberstein's amazing question, does Rafi, the guy that offered the $5,000, have to go ahead and pay?
Why did Rafi give $5,000 to the person who saved him if he doesn't know?
Because we're Jews. Jews are awesome and amazing people. And we're crazy, right? Obviously, it was some guy from America who just came here, you know, to take care of the soldiers and started to go to the sea. Now, it's got to be, right? Some American guy. And he's like, oh, I got 5,000 in my pocket, right? Maybe it's 5,000 shekel. I don't know, whatever, right? So you hear this question? Again, but understand the details of the question is important. There's a lot of details that are important. Number one, Jake is 11 years old. Two, Jake was saved by his father, but his father didn't jump into the water knowing any of this. Now he comes out of the water and he says, wait, this is your son? I'm not giving you the money. Are you crazy? And Dan, the father, says, no, you have to pay me. A deal's a deal. Doesn't matter who the kid was in the water. What do you think? He has to pay him. He has to pay him. I don't think so. Okay. Okay. So. What? The kid that he saved was not 13. There's a reason why I said it specifically. Okay. Okay. So let's look at the sources. Let's look at the sources, some of which Rav Zilberstein brought, some that he didn't. The Rama in Chosh and Mishpat, Simon, Tain Vinitan, Pei Aleph, Sif Aleph. This is just the Rama. V'lo Amrina, Taina, Sei, Lo B'yachad, fine, he says, down the line part, Umi Sha'omer, L'chatno. I say to my son-in-law, Ha'ashir, Talmud, this is the reason why he says this, Tilamed im banav, banecha, v'ani v'shalem lecha. You're fatsing around all day. You're wasting your time. Stop wasting your time. Sit down and learn with your son a little bit. Potter, Rama seems to say, he doesn't have to pay. Kevan, delav anihu, ubelav hachi chayv lamanado bino. So we'll see. Don't worry, there's going to be a machlokes here. But according to the Rama, it seems, don't worry, we're going to apply this to the case, that if I have a mitzvah to do, I'm the father, I have a mitzvah, or I go to you, right, I make a deal with you, that's not nice, a father makes a deal with the son says, I'm done, I'm not wearing tefillin anymore. So the father says, I'll get you to wear tefillin, 100 shekel every time you wear tefillin. Like, holy cow, who is this? What is this guy? Live on your Chob Yerushalayim, right? The guy's like, I'll wear Rabbeinu Tam. Do I get 200 if I wear Rabbeinu Tam? Shkoyech. Right. Don't worry about it. Don't test me. So the Rama says, no. Mefurish Halacha, says the Rama, I don't have to pay you to do a mitzvah that you have to do anyway. You have to wear it, right? You don't want to sit in the sukkah. You don't want to build your sukkah. I'll pay you to build your own sukkah. Because I want you to do the mitzvah, technically I don't have to pay. It's not 100% l'shitaso for everybody. It doesn't hold this way. We'll see in a moment. Comes along the Shach, which is the major commentary on the Rama over here, and says the following. The Alpha Gav, the Kosovat Tur, even the Tur, V'amachaber, says, hey, Dilo Amrina, right? He goes, it depends if a person's saying it as clearly when he's saying it, he knows that he has no intention to pay the other person. Because he's not saying it in a serious way, even though the person may think that he's saying it in a serious way, it doesn't matter, right? He's saying it in a mocking way. He's saying it, he's degrading the son-in-law. And he's saying to the son-in-law, I'll pay you. I'm not really going to pay you. Just do what you're supposed to be doing. He says, no, it's not even in that case. Kegon zeh, shemitzvah, nekavin, sheyulamidus beno, gamhu ben beno. Vegamhu asher, shayomutu lalav lamidimo, olishchor melamed. He says it's his chiyuv to do that. Now, it's interesting because one could argue, and he quotes the Sma over here as well. So one could argue, I'm not chayuv to teach my son, really. I am. Latim is b'neichem. But as long as I hire somebody, this is what your fancy, right, your parents do, right? And all your Talmud, our Torah's Moshe boy is not here, right? Your parents pay a lot of money, or here in Eretz Yisrael, not a lot of money, to teach you, to make sure you learn Torah. So that's not, I don't necessarily have to, or I know that when I teach my son, he's, right, I'm not going to teach my son that he's Bar Mitzvah Parsha, right? Now that's a chiyuv. Why? Because I know that Rav Siv is going to do a much better job because my kid is going to pay attention to him and not pay attention to me. Okay, so there's a machlokes between the Ketzos HaChoshen and the Nesivos. The Ketzos HaChoshen was slightly earlier because we'll see, the Nesivos quotes him. The Ketzai says the following thing. The Ketzai says, Kosev HaSmas, if Mir says, Nayim, V'sham, Lo Kosev, Tevas HaAsher, V'tzarech Le'giyah, Kosev Mir HaAsher. The Kosev, She'asher Lav Davka, El Ratzel Lomar, Kol She'inu Ani, Shayachai. This has nothing to do actually with the word Asher. Take Asher out of the Ramah. I'm not talking about Davka and Asher. As if somebody's poor and they can't afford to teach their son because they have no money and they have to, work, whatever, that's a different case. So he says, in that case, probably the father's chayef. But then he actually doesn't say that. Because comes the Nesivos, and the Nesivos says, well, wait a minute. He says, he quotes chuvas, different chuvas, kol mash neder lo chamav bedibar ba'alma chayiv litein. He says, no, he's not going to get off of this. You can turn the side over. He's not, why? Because the son, guess what the son, he made a neder. You're a meshugana. You made a neder on a mitzvah. So what? You have to pay. You weren't. Again, the tain is going to be whether or not he was joking or not. So he says, no. If it was clearly said the Lashem joke, the people around knew that he was kidding. They're like when somebody says, you know, the police come, Nebuch, the police come, and we're in Leva Torah, right? And Nebuch, you know, it's not a nice case, but okay, whatever. There's a student that's no longer alive. So the police are very good. They go around and do a chakira, you know, chakirana, and they ask, and they go in, they say, well, let's see, what classes did he take today? Maybe he got annoyed at one of the classes. So they go and they find out, they say, oh, this guy walked in for an hour, and he taught them Rav Hartstein, right? So they go into the class, and they interview all the people. They said, Rav Hartstein, when he taught, did he say anything to this student? They said, yes, he did, actually. He said, I'm going to kill you. The police are like, wow, this is an open shot case. I'm like, no, he was clearly kidding. And one kid's like, oh, I videoed it. And you see Rav Hartstein go crazy, go, stop talking, I'm going to kill you. No, I can't take this anymore. I don't think he really meant what he said. So if it's obvious that it's the lashon of a joke, says the ksois, that's the only case. Because you're right. But he says, l'shita, if it was a mitzvah, you still would be chayim. If it's clear that he was saying it as a non-joke. So if we plug that into our case, what are we going to say? Even though the father, we'll see in a moment, the father seemingly will have a mitzvah to save his own son, it doesn't matter. First of all, I didn't know it at the time. And therefore, maybe I'm chayev to pay the father for saving his own son. Good? Nesivos. Nesivos says, what is Ksois talking about? Of course, the Shach as well. He says, I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense to me. Shekhatsu she'il chayuvo hu mishum neder b'staka. Because he says, yeah, but tachlis, he made a neder b'staka. So what? He was kidding. No, he wasn't kidding. He has to. V'nira de'ein lechalek ben ashaloni fan masha ein kain shekasav she'amer below shum hechrech nira misvara the davka because he would have to pay mechayv mishum neder. That's what he says. He doesn't think that this is true. He quotes the ketzoyis and he says, "I understand what he says. The chayv is great, but zahave k'mo she'amer aser lechasuka aser lechatzvilin latzmecha. But I have a chiyuv. It doesn't matter that it's a business case. It's chirus case. It doesn't matter." You have a chiyuv to do mitzvahs, and therefore, even if my lashon was so super serious, clearly the father should not have to be paid to teach his own kid. Clearly, after months and months of you now, you know, if I then came up to the son and I said to him, okay, it's been a month, I know I owe you now, you know, I said, what did I say, 100 shekels, it's been, you know, 30 days minus the Shabbos and whatever, so I owe you 2,000 shekels. So what does the son say? Great. And I said, but I can't pay you anymore. And what does the son say? No, Abba, I got it now. Don't worry, I'm going to do it now. And I said, guess what? I'm not paying you the 2,000 shekel. Aha. According to the Sivas, yeah, you don't have to pay. It's a mitzvah. I don't have to pay. It's your mitzvah to do. You should have done it. So my chleik has been the ketzoyis and the Sivas. Let's plug in again. So the Sivas, what's it going to say? In the case of the father, what is it possible now? It's possible that Rafi, remember Rafi? Rafi doesn't have to pay. Why? Because it's your own son. Shkoyach. What's the counter? The counter is, but when I did the mitzvah, when I went out to save this person's life, I risked my own life. I didn't know it was my son. So maybe you have to pay. Except for one problem. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch in source number 5, Shulchan Aruch says, Haroya Svina, Sheesh Bo Yisrael, Nebuch. Right? You see there's a boat on the ocean and it's sinking. The Titanic. The Cheinara Shutof Yachar, whatever it is. Mitzvah, I'll call Adam Lechala, Elayim, it's a Shabbos. Give you the Hatzilam. Of course, it's a mitzvah, right? Right, and we even have bad words for somebody who decides not to, you know, who screams Shabbos, or he says, oh, you know what the halach is? I think Rabbi Bagno discussed this a few days ago. Shloshim Yom, sorry, 3 days before, you're not supposed to go on. So these people went on the boat, against the halacha. They went on Friday. You're not supposed to go on a boat on Friday. I'm talking about in these days, these boats. It doesn't matter. Right? You call the chassid shaita. Right? We gave the case. The girls like this case. Of the girl that's Nebuch drowning in the water. Let's say it's not Shabbos. It could be Shabbos also, but you shouldn't be in the water. But fine. She's drowning in the water. And one of you guys go up and you see that she's drowning in the water. And you look at her and you say, I wish I could help you. I can't because... right? You're not dressed appropriately. What? And how am I going to save you? I'm going to have to touch you. So, sir, say hi to the little Yasin for me. You know, like, sorry. That's called chayz choyte. You're an idiot. What, you don't do that. Fine. What? Yes, you're allowed to. You shouldn't push her into the ocean first and say, oh, you're drowning. Ha! You know, fine. Okay. So the Mishnah Berurah comments on this Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Shabbos Siman Shin Chav Tes. The Mishnah Berurah says the Siman Yotes, Sif Katan Yotes. We call Makam Im Yesh Shakana. Ain't a Mechuyuf. However, let's say I'm a loser and I don't know how to swim. Right? I'm a loser. I don't know how to swim. But I, you know, as much as I want to impress the girl and say, "Hey, I saved you," like I saved your life, you have to marry me now. Like, what do you want me to do? Like, that's just the rules. It's in the Mishnah Berurah. It's black and white. You know, like, fine. The Nesivos agrees and the Ksais. You know, you have to marry me. What are you gonna do? Except there's one problem. I don't know how to swim. So what am I gonna do? So she's gonna be at my funeral and she's gonna say, "He tried to save my life, but he wasn't able to save my life. I would have married him." Okay, Shkoyach. Great. You had one date. You know, lasted 5 seconds. Fine. Doesn't make any sense. So that you don't have to do. But what if I do it anyway? You don't have to do. So he says, the Mishnah Berurah says, oh, that's a heightened level. Ulam sarach lishkola dvarim heitev. Bosafek sakana. I have no chiyuv to do this. Says the Mishnah Berurah, that's not my chiyuv. But if I go ahead and risk my life, he says, even his own child. I have no chiyuv to save my own child. If I know I'm going to die, what am I going to do? Nobody said you have to kill yourself in order... It is what it is. Okay, we can call other people to help, right? But I don't have to go in. But, I'm sorry to say, we call professionals. We try. There's nothing you can do. Sometimes there's nothing you can do about it. However, comes along the rush. By the way, this is now all developing into what Zilberstein says. So according to this, we could say, wait a minute. The father doesn't have a chiyuv to save his son. Let's say the father knew, and the father's sitting on the sand, and he's, and Rafi looks at him, and Rafi says, what are you doing? It's your son. He says, I know, but I can't risk my life. Look at the water. So Rafi looks at him and says, I'll give you $5,000 to save your son. He's like, okay, you know, it goes into the water. Let's say it was that case. Says the Mishnah Berurah, he really doesn't have a chiyuv to save his son. He risked his life when he didn't have to. Except, comes along the rush in source number 7 in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and he says the following thing. Tanya, the Gemara says, "Minayin leroisus chaveru shatovea banahar, o chaya listin, whatever the case may be, or robbers, barnaleh shachayv latzilo, shenem lo tomo lo damrecha, vehatzilo chayv lefroyu matzim yemenu." You know, we don't have to give money out, but who has to pay him back? The person who saved his life. He can go ahead and give him a bill afterwards. And say, yesh koyach, thanks for saving my life. So now here's, ready for this funny case? Let's go back now. Says Rav Zilberstein, here's the funny case. Rav Zilberstein says, la halacha, we hold just like the ksois. The Rafi is chayav to pay the father. Rafi has to pay the father the $5,000. Wait, but one more thing. But the Rush says that the father has to pay Rafi back for any expenses he incurred in saving his son. So he gives him the $5,000 and then he would have to give it back to him. So even in the case that we said before, in the case where even though he's not really chayav to save his son because it's so dangerous, and now he doesn't want to do it, doesn't want to do it. So what happens? Remember, Rafi says, what does Rafi say to him? Rafi says, no. Save your son's life, I'll give you $5,000. And the father runs into the water and saves his son's life, Jake. Guess what? When he comes back, Rafi has to pay him the $5,000. But guess what? The father has to pay him back the $5,000 because that's what the halacha is. So the halacha, really, 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 the father doesn't get the money. And why did I say it's a katan? Because if it was a gadol, you might have a different case. Because once he's a gadol, he's chayav for himself. But here, clearly in a case where he's just a katan, clearly the father has the chiyuv over the son and have to pay in the son's case. And therefore, in this case, it's relatively easy to answer this question, and there would be no chiyuv for Rafi to pay. Even in our case. Even in our case where the father didn't even know it was the son, he really was trying to save somebody's life. He was risking his life. Still, he would not be able to get the money back. One more question for the day. And then you could ask all the questions that you want. Okay, what do you think about the following? Someone sells their house. Right? Let's take our example, Rechov Yerushalayim. Coveted Rechov Yerushalayim. Nobody's ever going to sell their house. And we find out that finally somebody's selling their house. So let's give an example of two neighbors who get along very, very well. The Hartsteins decide that they're selling their house. They decide they're fancy schmancy. They're moving to Gimel Dalet Hey Vav Zayin. Chet. Ramat Beit Shemesh Chet. I don't know, whatever. Yeah. So they're selling the house. So the Wolfgang Pucks find out, and the wolves say, oh, you're selling your house. Finally, we could expand our house. Probably would be more like Feldman, because then they could break through the walls. But okay, your father's got a whole Gansa idea. He's gonna put a tunnel like the Chabad underneath, and he's going to make a whole thing. It's going to be amazing. Okay? So your father says, well, how much are you asking for the house? So I said, listen, let's be honest. We're in Ramat Shiloh, guys. You can't find a house in Ramat Shiloh. $1 million. Your father starts laughing. Yeah, crazy. $1 million? That's crazy. Okay. He's like, okay, go back to your house. Don't bother me. So the Mossad agent goes back to his house and, come on, we know. So, I'm trying to sell it. I put it out. I put ads out. I put a sign, a thing, and then the VOD, excuse me, we don't think it's nice to put signs out that say for sale because people are going to come on the block and we don't like people. Fine. Okay, whatever. So nobody buys a house. Nobody will buy my house. So now what do? I have to call a fancy schmancy real estate agent. I don't know any names of real estate agents. I don't know. Mrs. Klumpus. It's real, right? Mrs. Klumpus. She showed us houses when we were looking at houses. So she comes and she says, oh, lovely, I think I could sell your house. Oh, lovely, lovely, lovely. Fine. So now she comes and she says, you're not going to believe this. It took me 2 days. Somebody wants to buy your house, but $1 million, let's be honest, it's asking too much money. But $900,000, I got a deal right now. I'm like, okay. At this point, I got to move to Ramat Beit Shemesh Chet, right? Now, I missed already a few weeks. Now we're up to Tet, you know. We're on Yud Aleph and Yud Gimel, whatever. Okay, fine. So I got to sell. So he says, okay, we're going to close the deal at $900,000. So because the next door neighbor turns out he's a Mossad agent and he's listening on everything we're saying, he knocks on the door and he says, what's going on here? So he said, oh, I get a mazel tov. I'm selling my house for $900,000. He goes, $900,000? I would have bought your house for $900,000. You told me $1 million. I have rights of first refusal. Paskin Choshe Mishpat. Shulchan Aruch Choshe Mishpat says, you have to go to your neighbor first and offer him the house. I don't know if this is really halacha l'maisa today. You have to. So now, he says to the, he says, wait, you're willing to give me, I don't care who I sell it to, I just want $900,000. Okay, shkoyach. But then I go to Mr. Wolf, and what do I say to Mr. Wolf? I am the real estate agent, and I said, shkoyach, I want my 2%. He's like, what do you mean, what 2%? I don't even know who you are. I never heard of you in my life. Who are you? He says, who am I? It's because of me that I saved you $100,000. And the least you could do is give me 2%. Crazy. The owner of the house could care less. The owner of the house says, I just want to sell my house. I have two people who want it for $900,000. That's the question. So Rav Zilberstein asked, Rav Zilberstein says, first he says, this guy quoted the Pasuk, the real estate agent, V'yasisi ha-yashav v'atoiv. Right? Torah tells us, right? You should do, right? B'enei Hashem. What does the Gemara say? So he quotes the Piskei Tshuva. The Piskei Tshuva, what's the point of the broker? What's the real estate agent's? What does he do? What is he doing? So he says, basically, he's a shadchan. He introduces different people to different people, which you never would have found. You, and I, Haraya, by the way, you put it on, you know, you put it on, what's it called, Shemesh phone, Shemesh net, and you put it in the six magazines I get every week in my mailbox that I want to throw in the garbage, you know, RBS Views, and the one that you get free ice cream, what's that called, you know, Sunshine, and all these different things, and nobody bought the house. So introducing both parties is important. Yes, I'll answer questions, fine. And number two, the closer. Because it could be that you're, the person that I introduced you to, the person that wants to buy the house for $900,000 is a scaredy cat. He wouldn't be able to, he would go to him and go, I don't want to pay $1 million. And then he runs away. I'm a real estate agent. I said, listen, this is good for you. I convince him. So says Rav Zilberstein, even if I don't need the introduction because you're my next door neighbor, I think for sure you would have to pay him because he did his job. He saved you $100,000. Even, he says, the Gemara in Sota says in Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, he says, here's the Raya. This is from our Parsha. It says, very interesting. It says, the Torah tells us in this week's Parsha, who took Atzmas Yosef? Who took Atzmas Yosef? Moshe Rabbeini. But if you look in Yehoshua Chaf Dalet, it says, the Atzmas Yosef, who took it? B'nai Yisrael. Sha'olu B'nai Yisrael Mitzrayim. The Gemara says, what happened over here? It says that when somebody starts a mitzvah and doesn't finish the mitzvah, we go with the finisher. The finisher gets the mitzvah. The finisher gets the mitzvah. He completed it. He completed it. It goes by the person who completed it. I, the real estate agent, I completed the deal you weren't able to do. You could have negotiated with him. You didn't go. You could have gone to his house and knocked on the door every single day and said, okay, fine. I'll give you $920,000. You didn't do anything. It was because of me. He says, V'chein, Choshe Mishpat, also paskins, that the fact that I sold my house, yes, I have a claim, and I'm able to get the house first over somebody else. But if somebody helped me in acquiring the house, it's my chiyuv to go ahead and pay that. And therefore, you would be chayuv to pay. Rav Zilberstein has a lot of these different questions when it comes to shadchan, right? Who's chayav to pay? Just to give you one funny case. This is a really cute case. A guy's sitting on the bus, and I know that, I'm sure this has happened to you. This is like my number one pet peeve in public places. Somebody whose phone is on speakerphone. I want to shoot my, I cannot stand it. Usually it's the old people, so like I feel a little bit bad for them, right? Or, by the way, worse than that is on speakerphone and in the bathroom. You like walk into a public bathroom and they're in the bathroom and they go, can you just hold on 1 second? And I'm fine. Yeah. Anyway, whatever. They put it on mute for a second. Okay. So, pet peeve of mine. So now, guy's on the bus. He's on speakerphone. Chutzpah. He's sitting next to me. I'm annoyed as anything. And it turns out the guy next to him is a shadchan. And the shadchan says, he's a great boy. He's a bach, a great boy. And your daughter's a great girl. Blah, blah, blah. So she says, oh, okay, whatever. He goes, here's the number of the girl. Here's the number. 052, da da da. And the guy next to him writes the number. Goes home, goes to his son. I found a shidduch for you. Here's our number. Just call. He says, tell me about it. Just call her. It's fine. He doesn't know anything about the girl. Shocking. He calls. He's like, hi, shalom aleichem. I'm Chaim Yankel Moshe. I live in Ramat Beit Shemesh. Ches. And, and they get married. Lo and behold, they get married. Wouldn't you know it? Who's invited to the l'chaim or the vort? The shadchan who shows up there, and he's like, how did this happen? I thought I was the shadchan. What happened? And he looks at the guy, and he goes, wait, you're the guy from the bus. You listened in to my conversation. He goes, I didn't listen into your conversation, loser. You're on speakerphone. The whole bus heard the phone number. Yeah. So I actually had it's not funny, but it's funny. I was working in the office, and we were all working like on cubicles, so everybody could hear each other. So it's not appropriate to talk on speakerphone. There was this one guy who pretended he was always so busy. Whenever his wife would call him, speakerphone, and we would laugh because she would say, how's your day going? How's everything? How's that? That was really, really funny. She's like, am I on speakerphone? She goes, take me off speakerphone. Take me off speakerphone. Am I on speakerphone? Finally, she couldn't take it anymore, and she said to him, honey, how you doing? How's your stomach? Maybe you had really, really bad diarrhea. How is it? And he's like, wait, and he picks up the phone quickly. Oh, my God, I don't know. Hello. He's like, yeah, okay. So be careful. Anyway. So Rav Zilberstein there, Paskin, it was the use of the phone number. I am a shadchan. I did something. So he doesn't think you have to pay Dimei Shadchanus in the Haredi world. It's a lot of money. Okay, halacha l'maisa, he says that you have to pay him something. What that something is, would be a good question. Sorry, just one quick other thing, because I just thought about it. It was very, very cute. Another very cute story. This is very, very cute. There's a little kid downstairs in the gan downstairs, right? What's it called downstairs? Gan Shilo? Yeah, but there's two. Gan Shilo and what's the one next to it? Gan Chova? That's not a name. How do you not know? Okay, give me a second. Gan Shilo and? Oh, yeah, okay, sure. Okay, so you have Gan Shilo and Gan we don't know. Gan Iris. I don't know. Okay, so Gan Shilo. And there's a kid. Gan Mata. You knew. I didn't hear you. So, right, so whatever. It's Gan Shilo. And this little six-year-old kid says she has the greatest, what are they called? Ganana. She's the greatest Ganana in the world. You know, she's great. She's great. She's very good at what she does. But she tells the kid, she says, you know, when you daven every morning, you know, they go, Shihamalot, they all say, Shihamalot, Sinai, right. And she says, can you keep the name Rachel Bas, whatever, in the mind? Everybody's like, Misa Rachel? She says, it's me. I don't have a shidduch, Nebuch. I'm 40 years old, I don't have a shidduch. So the little kid, he's a little nothing, nobody, little kid, you know, 3 years old. He says, I have a great idea. My neighbor in our apartment across the street in 30, whatever, also doesn't have, they must be perfect for each other. They're both Jews. It's perfect, you know? So he goes across the street, knocks on the door, and he says, Matzate lecha shidduch. The guy's like, Slicha? He's like, Ken. He says, my ganenet, Rachel. She's perfect for you. It's like, tell me a little about her. She goes, oh, she plays with toys. She plays with the blood. She sings. She has a great voice. She has a great voice. She knows how to sing all the song. Ashkedi aporach. You know, like, it's great. It's going to be a great shidduch. So he says, well, why do you think he's shayach for me? He's like, because you're not married and she's not married. Shkoyach. Okay. So he's like, you know what? Fine. Here's my phone number. Give it to her. He gives her the phone. He goes, listen, I found your shidduch. I was down. We found your shidduch. She's like, I'm not. Tell me a little bit about the guy. He's like, I actually know nothing about him. My mom says I'm not really allowed to talk to him because, you know, you're not allowed to give candy from strangers. I don't know anything about him, but you're around the same age and you're both nebuchs and like, lishkoyach. And they actually go out and they actually get engaged and get married. And when they get engaged, the kid comes to the house and he goes, no, I get shalchanis geld, you know. So the Rabbi Silverstein says, yeah, you have to pay him. You have to pay him what shalchanim get that are 3 years old. How much is that? Nothing. You know, they said, yeah, you buy him a toy or a candy or something like that. Okay, fine. Very cute shilas from Rav Zilberstein. Shkoyach, and I'll do any other questions.